This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since when is it so fucking cool, dude? I don't know anything about Judaism. I want to read their books.
Oh, was that? Sorry, what did you say?
I said tres, dos, uno?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know those guys.
Now you're in English.
Yeah.
I don't know those guys. I'm just going to start, okay?
Okay. The members of U2.
Welcome to the Lore Boys. In my notes, actually, I'm reading my script now, obviously. I wrote, welcome the Lore Boys. So also, welcome, Lore Boys.
Hey, hi. Lore Boys. You know what? No one ever welcomes us. We're always welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one stopped to ask us that word.
Who welcomes the welcomers, right?
Yeah.
So if you're new to the show, this is the only podcast to tell you that if an old man shows up at your house to give you a pet and tell you to run away from home, you listen. We're talking about a history of Pokemon today.
No way!
I love this so much because Pete, right before we started, I was like, okay, we're going to keep it a secret. And Pete was just like going off on how like, we really got to do a Pokemon episode one of these days.
We got like a 5-minute speech on why we need to do Pokemon. And Ethan,
yeah.
I'm just sitting here stone faced the whole time. Like,
I'm not like a good card player. Never playing poker with you, man. You will clean me the fuck out.
Pokemon?
You will be wearing my ring. You will have my cat. You will be driving my car. Like,
I'm actually so bad at bluffing games too. And I played Among Us last Friday. It was like I have a team at work that like every time they do team buildings, we always do Among Us. And it's a meme with me where I never get killer. I am always a crewmate. I think out of the maybe like 150 times we've played, before last Friday, I'd gotten it twice ever. Like I was just always crewmate. last time I got crewmate the first two times in a row. And so I would always say before a match starts, like, hey guys, I'll never betray you. And the match starts and I get killer and I just slaughter for two rounds back to back. And my whole team is like, we're never trusting you again. Like you're so full of shit. But I get so stressed out. I hate being the killer in that game. Like it's the same reason like I don't like poker, because I get so stressed trying to lie. It just drives me crazy. Anyway, we're not talking about Mungie. We're talking about Pokey. Pokemon or Poket Monsters. This is a request from Dr. Man, I think, originally, with a lot of support from Eric with a K and Han Dolo on the Discord. If you guys want your voice to be heard, head on over to the Discord and leave us a recommendation there.
Hype Man's been putting in fucking work these past couple of weeks, dude.
I feel like Han Dolo also has original thought, but he is a Hype Man as well. Last time I was like, while editing, I was like, we made him just sound like he just plus ones everything and doesn't have opinions, but
he knows we love him, right?
Not talking shit. Yeah, I love you. Should we introduce ourselves? I realize.
Sure. I'm Ethan. Yeah. I'm Ethan, host one, I guess. I'm the left starter. I'm the Charmander.
Nice. I'm wearing. We are wearing the starter colors.
No fucking way!
I didn't even realize when I said it, but I am wearing red.
I'm wearing blue.
I'm so Bulbasaur, or Jimmy from the Block, James Miller over here.
I'm Peter O'Donohue, squirting in the middle. That's it. A little man.
Yeah. So I guess, without spoilers for, because I know Pete, you have a lot more experience with the games than Jamie or myself, really. So why don't you start?
Maybe.
Then why don't you start with how much you know about Pokemon?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, I guess for context, I have seen maybe five episodes of the anime, like completely like scattered out throughout my entire life. So like it was hot in the 90s when I was like of age, but I never watched it, didn't have cable. So like I'm not familiar with any of that stuff. I've seen a couple of the movies. Like obviously my parents, I think, took me to the Pokemon first movie at like the Kirkland Coliseum in the West Island.
Okay.
And yeah. Where they're handing out like free Mew cards.
We might have passed each other because I saw that movie in that theater too. And we didn't even know each other. Me and Pete were sitting next to each other with our shiny Mew or something.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Like the like little like the Aztec drawing of Mew that they gave out at the theater, basically.
Yeah, I had that one too.
I've seen a couple of the other films. Like I really like don't like it a lot, but I've played at least one game from every single generation up into Sun, basically. I don't know. I think that's Gen 5 or 6, something like that. But I played, like, I have the award. Like, I caught them all in Y. Like, I completed the Pokedex. I don't have a living Dex. So, like, I don't have every stage of every evolution. But I have the little ticket that you get for having, like, the 700 and something. I got a bunch of teams. I don't do the like breeding stuff and nearly as much because I find comp very interesting, but I don't really get into it. So I make very like mixed teams, like tier wise, which I don't know if we're going to talk about like tiers, but there's like good Pokemon and very good Pokemon and mediocre Pokemon and then absolute trash. But like I'll make very mixed teams with mixed sets of moves and like have like different jobs for every Pokemon, but
yeah,
I've caught them all since basically 1995 up until whenever Y came out, which I think was like 2015. Okay. I don't like Sun and stopped keeping up with it after that.
Okay. And Jamie?
I played a lot up until Sapphire. I don't think I ever completed the Dex. Like, I got really close, but then went to like my mom's like Italian family's friend, like, or a friend of like an Italian family. There's this huge gathering of Italian folks, and they convinced me to restart my game so I could trade them the starters. And older cousin type deal, but I just kind of got fucked. But I have played like a lot of 1 and 2, like first generation, second generation, and replayed them fairly recently. So like the first 3 generations I'm really comfortable with, and then I completely fall off. Like I watched Ethan's old roommate play the newest game and it looked cool and fun, even though it looked kind of like empty or whatever. Like the gameplay itself looked fun.
It looks pretty cool. I mentioned you guys when we recorded our episode that released last week that it would have been great if we could have got this one out because Pokemon Legends Arceus is very very hot right now.
I played Twitch Plays Pokemon too, so of like 10,000 inputs in a second to try and get through that maze where you go on the arrows and you spin across like
like Silph-Co or whatever.
So I played Generations 1 and 2 as a kid and loved them. Never knew anything about the lore except for the fact that Mewtwo was like a genetic experiment by humans. I'd seen the movie with Mewtwo, so like the first Pokemon movie, and I think that's the only movie I've seen. And then
Kirkland, were we all there on the same day?
I saw it in theaters. I think I saw it.
Star-crossed lovers,
wearing our 3 starter colors there, just like us, but like shorter.
I was a Squirtle stan when I was a kid, so I would have been wearing Pete's skin.
I like Bulbasaur, so okay. I'm comfortable in my own skin right now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I was also a Squirtle guy because I knew I got the game late, so it was definitely like the water gym. But like, I know my favorite starter from every gen that I've played. I think
I liked blue. I liked Squirtle because I had Pokemon Blue. My brother had Pokemon Red, so he took Charmander and I took Squirtle.
Same. That's I had the same setup for cartridges, anyways.
Nice.
My sister did not have video games. She had Donkey Kong Country, so I had to play by myself.
So we said a lot of stuff for anybody who like is super unfamiliar with this, you know, a caveman just thought out of a block of ice who's listening to the podcast is like, what are these things that they're talking about? So I guess let's get into a bit of the basics of Pokemon. But the meat of this episode, I guess you could say, as it is an Ethan episode, is going to be creation myth, of course.
Hope to God that like the like Museum of Natural History in like Washington, D.C. is currently like thawing a baby mammoth or whatever. And like, it's just like, no, no, no. It needs to know culture. And they're playing our show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at the Smithsonian, yeah, or whatever.
The Smithsonian's a big fan of the show.
I looked up the numbers this week for like South Korea and North Korea of our like downloads. And I was so hoping we had like one guy who was just smuggling lore boys into North Korea and listening to us. But
we did have a guy who was smuggling lore boys into like Iran for a bit, whether we had like three or four downloads in the early days.
Yeah. I mean, there could be people in North Korea listening to us, but like their internet's not connected to our internet, right?
Right.
So like they wouldn't be smuggled in, and they wouldn't get play updates. So.
How many downloads are just North Korean VPN users?
That's cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Use code LoreBoys for NordVPN in North Korea. Yeah.
VPNs, no. Use code LoreBoys to afford a bag of rice. Okay. So Pokemon's a game where you run around, you catch monsters. The creator has said he was inspired to create it by a child. He used to go bug hunting. So he used to like hunt bugs in his backyard.
Cool.
And that's, I mean, the basic premise of Pokemon is that you run around, you catch not just bugs, but all kinds of creatures. And there's a battle system where you can battle them out.
Yeah.
So
I love that story as well for that guy. Like, I can't remember his name, but, it's like, just like as a kid going out and like playing in the wild and then kind of adapting that into something much more modern is, you know, something I very much care about because I draw almost exclusively animals and am a country bumpkin who grew up like playing in the dirt. So,
and that's why every Pokeball on the inside has a Q-tip with sugar water and a stick to make them feel like they're at home. Right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's why when you catch the Pope, you got to put a stick in your Pokeball.
Yes.
We've covered this before.
Yes, of course.
So, the gens that we've been talking about, not Jenny from the Block, but it's referring to generation. So there's been a lot of releases of different Pokemon games. The first generation, Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue, which I mentioned earlier, were released in 1996 for the Nintendo Game Boy. Every subsequent Pokemon would come in twos with usually a third kind of following it up later. So it was Red, Blue, and then Yellow came out, which kind of mixed up the monsters that you can get because...
And you had a followable Pikachu that would follow you around, and you could like check in with it, and it would like pretend to.
You had to check in with him because he hated you at first, but then he slowly grew to like you.
Yeah.
So
like, Yellow was made because of the popularity of the anime.
Yeah.
And they kind of reworked a couple of the characters. Like Jesse and James are in it now instead of just like random Team Rocket goons.
Is it an anime or a cartoon? Where was it?
It was an anime.
It's an anime.
Okay.
An anime for sure. So Gen 1, Red and Blue, Gen 2, Silver and Gold, and then eventually Crystal came out as the third. Gen 3, Ruby and Sapphire, eventually Emerald came out as the third. So just when we say, like, this generation, that generation, we're just referring to, like, when in real time these Pokemon were introduced into the canon, essentially. Each game, each generation introduces a new story and a new suite of Pokemon from the last generation. So up to, what was it? Was it Sword Shield? You could catch all Pokemon, and then Sword Shield, they stopped releasing, like, every Pokemon is catchable in all the previous games.
Pay for DLC to be able to get all the previous Pokemon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that was a huge problem.
They talked to fans pretty hard. Like, the reason I never bought a Switch was they called it Dexit because it was, like, kind of at the same time as Brexit when the UK was leaving... the European Union, but like Dexit was like when a lot of fans kind of fell off, and like I didn't have a Switch and don't. Most Nintendo consoles I do buy just like as a $300 Pokemon machine. Like I have a 2DS, and the only game I own is Pokemon Y, and I have Ethan's copy of Shovel Knight, and like that's it.
That was a great game.
I buy Game Boys for Fire Emblems, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Although now they're releasing on main consoles. So.
But who wants to buy Nintendo games full price one time, never mind two times, just to get all the Pokemon in your game?
But like, and you can't even do that anymore. Like, I thought it was kind of like I understand why, except for the fact that the Switch games like don't.
Do you understand X?
Look that good. Like, they don't look that good, but yeah, Sword and Shield is the first time you could not retroactively catch everything.
Yeah, so the idea in the game, and Pete mentioned Pokedex earlier, is you want to catch them all, right? Ash Ketchum, as he's known in the West.
There was a service where there's like My Pokemon or something, an app that you could keep all your Pokemon in between games too, or something.
Pokemon Home.
Pokemon Home. Okay, sorry, I just wanted to get that out before I get too far from it.
Yeah, so you want to catch all the Pokemon, or like one way to play the game is to catch all the Pokemon. Another way to play the game is to just like catch really strong Pokemon, like Pete was saying. Some Pokemon are, you know, some are Mewtwo's who are super, super strong, and some are Caterpies, and they're not going to be that good, right?
Yeah.
So each Pokemon also has a type, or up to two types, I guess. The actual gameplay, the actual like fighting gameplay is kind of like rock, paper, scissors. It's like, what is it? Rock, paper, scissors, dynamite, gun, you know, and you just keep adding variations onto the game. But, you know, water is strong against fire, go figure. Fire is strong against grass, go figure. And grass is strong against water. So I could beat up Jamie could beat up Peter, and Peter could beat up me in this case.
Yeah. Based on the clothes that we're wearing that you can't currently see.
But we've established that I'm Charmander, that you're Squirtle, and that Jamie is Squirtle. So.
I like how we even talked about shirts in the sound check and it didn't clock in. Like, yeah, anyways.
So at the
fucking emotionless, emotionless, like FBI agent Ethan didn't betray himself to you.
And I will say, so we have a trivia game at the end, and this was maybe going to be one of the questions. But didn't turn out to be. Do you guys know the only Pokemon to have never been defeated in a battle on screen in the anime? It's Jamie. It's Bulbasaur. It's the only
really?
Pokemon to have never been beaten.
Oh, I'm flexing for everyone out there in the listening audience. Yeah. Hell yeah.
There's legendary and non-legendary Pokemon. Non-legendary Pokemon like a Caterpie, like a Bulbasaur, like a Squirtle, a Charmander, whatever. Might populate, you know, general areas. There might be plenty of them out there. Typically legendaries, there's like one of them, or they're extremely rare. There's a lot of instances of like multiple legendaries, but often, especially like in game, there's only one place that you can like view them or see them. So
yeah,
in the first game, they're the first generation. There's the legendary birds, right? Zapdos, Moltres, and Articuno, who's like the Thunderbird who comes from like Mexican myth. There's, you know, the firebird and the icebird. And in game, there's only one of them. There's not really, I was looking for other mentions of them in the lore and the history too, and I couldn't find any. But other legendaries like Mew from the first generation.
Dude, I did an Uno Dos Tres count in to this episode without knowing what it was. For the first time in our entire lives. Yeah. All right. Meant to be.
So like Latios and Latias, who are from Gen 4, I think.
Three.
Gen 3.
They're from Ruby and Sapphire, yeah.
There you go. You can see baby Latios and Latiases in the anime. So yeah. They definitely breed. Entei is one of his big fan of the Entei.
Yeah.
He said he's like a fire dog, I guess you could say. A new one is said to be born in one of the Pokedex entries. It said a new Entei is born every time a volcano is made. And Mew, like Pete and Jamie were saying, they're holographic cards that they got from the teenager at the movie theater. Featured like a cave drawing of Mew, and that's because Mew is like a prehistoric Pokemon that is now essentially extinct.
Which
there
one
is?
What's the blue dog?
Suicune.
Suicune. I remember like someone telling me that at the top of Pallet Town there was like six tiles that if you just like walk in circles, Suicune would show up eventually. And I don't know.
Fucking playground myths. Yeah. Like if you think conspiracies are bad now with your QAnon bullshit,
I started one.
This is where they came from. This is where they all came from, man.
I started one because this guy named Chad was getting ahead of me, and I wanted to be the first one to beat the game because Zellers gave me the game a day before they were supposed to put it on the shelves, so I had a head start. And Chad was going like ahead of me, and I was like, "If you what's that big cave right before the end of Gen 2? Like
Victory Road.
Yeah, Victory Road. I said, if you go through and press up B on every single tile in Victory Road, then it'll unlock another Pokemon. So I basically gave him like a fool's errand so I could beat the Elite Four first.
Go chase this golden goose, my friend.
if you mash A while you're playing, which I still do, from like muscle memory, like it's been 30 years, I still mash A when I'm catching a Pokemon. And
when you
throw a Pokeball, Junior never comes back, basically.
Yeah, it's you throw a Pokeball when it shakes for the third time or something. If you hit down B, it'll always catch. There's one if you go to the moving truck in Viridian City, I think, and talk to the guy, he'll give you a Mew. There was, if you beat the Elite Four 100 times, And then go talk to Professor Oak. He'll give you a level 150 muck, whereas level 100 is the max level you can get in the game.
In Gen 3, they had like a space, like a launch pad for a rocket. And the thing that I always did in Ruby was like I would go to the space station like every day, and like eventually it was you supposedly would go to a meteor and catch Deoxys, who's like an alien Pokemon basically.
Yeah,
and of course it's all fake.
There was like real shit too. Like in Gen 1, I remember you go to like Viridian City, talk to that guy who like takes a nap but also gives you a tutorial, then fly to Cinnabar Island and like walk up and down on the coast.
Oh, for missing no,
yeah, and then you could duplicate whatever. Was six in your item slot, and
that
was
their seventh. Yeah,
At such a young age, like that was my introduction to like certain inputs couldn't completely break a fucking game. Like,
I know that we're like hard nostalgic right now, but for some reason, I was thinking about this earlier, like earlier this week, in Pokemon Silver and Gold on the Game Boy Color, which is Gen 2. If you moved a Pokemon within the storage system where you kept your extra Pokemon, because you can only have six at one time, if you moved a Pokemon. Within the, it's called the PC, basically. Within the PC, you moved your Pokemon. The game would always save. If you turned off your Game Boy while it was saving and turned it back on, it would duplicate the Pokemon. And this was the best way to duplicate items within the game, because it would also duplicate anything that was equipped to them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All those early gens are completely fucking broken at this point.
If anyone listening thinks this sounds really cool, basically in Pokemon you could just you could perform what's called random code execution, which is just you can code a new game over Pokemon by inputting different inputs essentially. So you can get it to do anything. You can build a slot machine. You could build a banking app in Pokemon technically, because just code whatever you want. And so like the glitch percent speed run is basically just like, it's like the wrong warp in Super Mario Bros. If you guys have ever seen, where you just like, you input like a crazy number of inputs in Super Mario World in like the first main level, and then it just takes you to the credits.
Yeah.
Skip the rest of the game.
I'm using my original ass 1989 Game Boy to mine for Bitcoin right now through my Pokemon game.
It's like pulsing hot, like liquid magma. So the games are developed by Game Freak, a subsidiary now of the Pokemon Company, not Nintendo, which means that we actually have lore in the games. It's not like, you know, Mario likes Peach, hates Bowser. That's the lore you get. So we'll start the lore. We're going to do kind of creation myth, creation of the universe. So it starts with an in-game book called The Original Story, found in Canalave or Canalave Library. And from it, we know that the egg came first.
Is that in Ruby? Is that like a Gen 3 thing?
I think this is most of this is Gen 3 and 4. Most of what we were going to talk about is Gen 3 and 4. This one is 4.
Can I go back and play like Gen 4 Plus on Switch?
Yeah, Diamond and Pearl.
You can? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this should be Gen 4, I believe. In the beginning, there was only a churning turmoil of chaos. At the heart of chaos, where all things became one, appeared an egg. Having tumbled from the vortex, the egg gave rise to the original one. From itself, two beings the original one did make. Time started to spin. Space began to expand. From itself again, three living things the original one did make. The two beings wished, and from them, matter came to be. The three living things wished, and from them, spirit came to be. The world created, the original one took to unyielding sleep.
This would have to be Gen 4, yeah, because that's Arceus, Dialga, and Palkia, and then Giratina, right?
Arceus in North America, and we'll get into pronunciation in a little bit. But yeah, that's you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Can we be the three original ones?
Yeah, yes, sure. Okay. We could be. I'll be Uxie. We have or Uxie. We have what Azelf and Mesprit that you guys
Mesprit,
can.
Yeah, those are the Lake Guardians, though. Like that's
they're essentially like mind, body, and soul.
Oh, okay, okay, cool.
So yeah, there's some really neat parallels to real life religion and real life myth in the Pokemon games that I all learned when researching this that I thought was really cool. So even in that passage, they mention that the one created two and then created three afterwards. He actually created three and then three. But one of them we don't talk about because he's antimatter and got thrown into like the dark dimension, the upside down, essentially. Like right.
Yeah, Giratina is in like the reverse world or whatever, and yeah. he's the title monster of Pokemon Platinum, which is the fancy Gen 4 re-release.
So Pokemon math 1 = 3 + 3.
Exactly.
Got it.
So in Taoism, like real world Chinese religion, Taoism. It said all things start with a single divine energy, which divides into two parts, the yin and the yang, and then into three, which would represent the mind, body, and soul.
Interesting. They did yin yang again in Gen 5 with black and white.
Yeah,
because those
there's a ton that they go into the same wells a lot. They go a lot into Judaism, into the Bible, into like we're going to talk about a lot of real world myths. We have like Greek Titans in this episode. Like
very cool.
Yeah, it really touches, like, parallels so many, like, real-world things.
Okay.
So the book that this comes from, and this idea of Poke Taoism, is what's known as the Sinnoh creation myth. So Sinnoh is one of four Pokemon regions based upon real-life regions of Japan.
Johto, Kanto, Sinnoh, and...
Hoenn is Gen 3.
Hoenn's Gen 3? Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Ho-Ho, who's the legendary in Gen 2.
Yeah, that you see in episode 1 of Pokemon. That like right when he falls on the ground after whatever, like he gets chased by a bunch of bees, some kind of calamity happens to Ash in the first episode. I forget what happens, but then he like crashes his bike, he looks up, the clouds part, and Ho-Ho's in the sky when Gen 2 wasn't even out yet, dude.
Wow.
Hey Digimon, champions of the digital world.
That sounds like another childhood like playground myth, JB, where it's like, if you freeze frame right after Ash falls on the ground after being chased by the bees, you can actually see Ho-Ho in the sky.
I mean, it's like that. It's like you've got like Navy fighter jet footage of a Ho-Oh, and people are just like, UFOs are real, dog. Like,
I'm pretty sure they confirm it afterwards too, because he goes to like a Poke Center and he's like sitting there, and his mom like goes, ring ring ring, phone call. His mom's like, don't change your underwear or whatever. Then he looks, there's like a bulletin board that has like this ancient engravings of like Ho-Oh with like all those Mew characters and stuff. Ho-Oh was teased very early in the series. Yeah.
Nice. So we have Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, and Sinnoh.
Yeah.
The real world counterparts, Kanto is Kanto, obviously. Johto is based upon the Kansai region of Japan. Hoenn is based on the Kyushu region of Japan. And Sinnoh is based on the Hokkaido region of Japan. It gets more granular.
They manufacture Mr. Sparkle.
Yeah, exactly. it gets more granular than that, too. Like, specific places in the games and specific cities are based on real-world Japan counterparts. So Celadon City from the original game is based on Shinjuku, which is the commercial center of Tokyo. The Celadon Gym, Pete, what type is the Celadon Gym?
Oh, I know.
Is that Erica? Is it the green one?
Yeah, it's grass. Yeah,
or grass
or plant.
Yeah,
that is based on the Shinjuku Gyoen, which is the largest park within Shinjuku, famous for its flowers. Mount Silver. Maybe you guys can guess. It's Mount Fuji.
Okay. It's funny. I answered your question, but my brain didn't like feel like it was looking for memories. Those words just exist within my head and can be summoned at any time. Because it's been like decades. Yeah.
I'm on the road to Viridian Cedar.
Hell yeah.
Pokemon disc, man. I know it's not Celadon, but damn, that's forever.
Someday we'll release bonus content of all of us doing the Pokerap.
Charmeleon, Wartortle, Mewtwo, Tentacruel, Aerodactyl, Omanyte,
Slowpoke.
don't give it away for free, asshole.
That's right. Shit.
So fans of the franchise and Pete will probably know that Sinnoh, the region where we found our creation myth, is Gen 4. We're talking...
Yeah.
About Gen 4 to start. We'll get into some of the other gens as we go, but that explains why I have never heard of Arceus or Dialga or Palkia or Giratina or anything like that. They might as well have been the ice cream cone Pokemon to me. It's just like, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Vanillaxe, dude. Come on.
Yeah. So according to the Sinnoh people, the universe starts with an egg, which actually I didn't get into this. I was gonna, but there is also a very common trope in real world mythology called the world egg creation, where like the world hatched from an egg, essentially. Very common in a lot of Eastern religions as well. So from the egg springs Daddy SEO himself, Arceus, pronounced Arceus in English and Arceus in Japanese. The reason they changed it is because American execs for Nintendo America
didn't want to say
thought
arse.
It sounded too much like arse. Exactly. Arse.
Okay. Yeah.
That's so funny. That's yeah. so stupid. Also, just the stupidity of Pokemon censorship. There is a Pokemon that I love very much called Frostlass, which is just like Frost combined with Lass because it's yep. a female-only ice Pokemon. You cannot trade it online in Y and like subsequent games. They may have fixed it because the game has the word or the Pokemon has the word ass in it. So the trade censorship thing yeah. won't let you trade Frostlass because its given name has the word ass in it.
That's very good.
That's a problem. In yeah, Diablo 2, if you link Bastard Sword in chat, it blanks out Bastard because it thinks it's a bad word.
In Dark Souls 3, it censors like chunks of slurs. And so if you ever see someone who has like Black Knight or something, the NIG is just stars.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Which like Dark Souls 3 will censor out chunks of words that are already in the game. Like,
I mean, I'd rather
the Knight's a class.
when it comes to censorship, like sure, err on the side of whatever,
option.
Like, because you know somebody's gonna try and get that around the profanity filters. Like, people are actively doing that right now. Somebody out there is trying to get around a profanity filter to put a slur in their name.
I work in customer service, and it's been a ongoing battle in every game I've ever supported. It's going through the admin tool and weeding out all these people who uses like six instead of G's and all the rest of it. But.
So it's pronounced Arceus. It's pronounced Arceus in English and Arceus in Japanese. Very fun lore boys canon. Dr. House, MD, played by Hugh Laurie,
yeah,
watches the Japanese version of the Pokemon anime because there is a clip out there of him pronouncing it, and he pronounces it Arceus.
Oh. All right. That's canon.
Okay. When I was looking up how to pronounce it, I did come across that clip.
Hey, so where's my Visodin?
I guess for the young listeners out there, House MD was a early aughts drama featuring Hugh Laurie playing a genius, like a Sherlock Holmes doctor, essentially.
He has an American accent in the show, but a UK accent in real life. It's pretty impressive.
In real life. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah. I knew that because he plays one of the goons in 101 Dalmatians. He's the tall one.
Yeah. He was a very well-known British actor before becoming House, right? So the first Pokemon, excuse me, is Pokemon.
I like that better.
The first Pokemon is born into the universe and decides it's awfully boring all by themselves. They create three other Pokemon, as Pete mentioned before, Dialga, Palkia, and Giratina, to control time, space, and antimatter, respectively.
Oh, antimatter. I didn't know that was in the mix.
So again, the attentive listener, the careful listener will remember the Sinnoh creation myth said that the original one created only two, time and space, didn't mention antimatter. God did a weird thing, as God so often does in Lore Boys episodes, where God creates three other Pokemon, immediately rails against Giratina's nature, and throws him into the mirror dimension, where he's just no longer a problem. Another fun parallel to real world myth, Giratina's arc mirrors the fallen angel trope, where it's a celestial being created by God, who God immediately decides, you know what, who made you like this, and then casts them out, right?
You did. I learned it from you at the beginning of time. It's just like, ah, like that.
Pete, do you remember what origin forms are?
There's like certain so basically every Pokemon after Gen 2 has one equipment slot, and starting in Gen 4, I want to say, which is what we're talking about, sometimes they would have a unique item that only works on them. Well, I mean, that's not it technically true. Like in Gen 3 there was like the Lustrous Orb, which would just like make Latias and Latios like god kings of like absolutely killing machines, but it would just buff their stats. There are certain items that will transform Pokemon into their like other shapes, I guess. So
what I'm hearing is every Pokemon has an OF, which means I'm gonna go look up Squirtle right after.
Yes.
Going to Giratina's OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's just like, oh man, if Like you've got the free OF from Giratina, which is where he has like six legs and four wings. But if you want to see his snake body, you need the egregious orb or whatever the fuck to it, basically.
Yep.
Origin forms, I'm not sure the lore, but it's just like the source sort of thing. It's like the way he exists in the mirror dimension is as like kind of a flying serpent opposed to a more centaur looking thing.
Yeah, I mean, the lore basically ends there. Why they have these different forms is never really explained, but I wanted you to get into, hey, they have like their normal Pokemon. Keep saying
Jesus Christ.
I love it. There's got to be a pig Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Spoink is the best Pokemon name on the planet, and he's a spring and a pig, and he's called Spoink.
Curly tails like a spring. He's like one with a tail so big he can literally like bounce on it with like
actual Pokemon. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And so, there's a pig starter too in Black and White.
There is a big pig that it's not Swine Flu, but it sounds like Swine Flu.
There's like Grumpig. There's
Spoink. Yeah. What does Spoink evolve into?
Grumpig.
Never mind.
I wanted you to hit on the origin form because Giratina, who mirrors the Fallen Angel trope, Giratina's origin form, as you mentioned, Pete, is a snake with six wings, the seraphim from the Bible, six wings and the literal body of a snake. Seraph are often depicted with six wings. Seraph translates in Islamic to snake, literally.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Imagine making a children's game for Nintendo, but getting like deep into Islamic like devil myths and being like, "Yeah, I'm working my ass off here, guys."
For all the people yelling at the screen for or me not knowing the swine one, it was Pillow Swine. I finally got it.
Pillow Swine's a mammoth, though. He's like a buffalo thing.
Yeah, but it has swine in the name. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's definitely piggy. He's swine in the name. He's got a pig nose.
Piggy dipping, dude.
Yeah,
piggy.
Mammoths have trunks, Pete. They're pachyderms. So Arceus casts Giratina into another universe known as the Distortion World.
That's it.
Yeah. It's got its own physics, Escher-esque planes. So like you can walk on the walls, you can walk on the ceilings.
Everyone's wearing AC/DC shirts. They got like flying V guitars.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's dude. Distortion World. It's all cranked to 11. Spinal Tap's there. It's pretty
good. Yeah.
So Giratina seems to be the only Pokemon present within the Distortion World. Like walking in grass, you'll never get a random encounter. If you try and fish, it seems you just get a message saying there's no Pokemon here.
Yeah.
You
pull up at like a dead girl and she's just like, get out of here. Like, okay. And then just like, put her back in the water.
Whether or not. So like you can visit the Distortion World in 4, I suppose. And whether like it always looked like that or not is impossible to tell. With pesky antimatter out of the way, however, Giratina's siblings can get to work creating the world in our universe prime, essentially. So there's two characters in the game known as Cyrus and Cynthia. They say that they think that Giratina may have created the Distortion World to mirror the prime. So they think that the Distortion World was probably just like chaotic space to start with. And then when Palkia and the other one, Dialga. Created our world, Giratina kind of saw it through between universes and said, like, I'm gonna make mine like that, and made it all like fucked up and weird.
Who are Cyrus and Cynthia? Because they sound a lot like New Age Jesse and James or something like that.
They're like the villain of the main like not quite Team Rocket, and then Cynthia is the champion. She's kind of like the crusader of Gen 4. She's the hero, she's very, very cool. Like she's popped up in other games as well. She's like Lance again. Like she's the cool person with the dragon more than anything. But
okay.
Yeah, we'll eventually. I mean, we'll do follow up episodes to this Pokemon one, I think, and we'll get into like Team Rocket and Team Galactic. I think is one and Team Magma and all this.
Yeah,
like,
There are
like in game stories to the game. There's in each Pokemon game, it's pretty cool. It usually feels like there's kind of like multiple stories kind of happening at the same time where you're like a kid who's like going on an adventure and trying to beat the Elite Four, and you're just kind of stumbling into these criminals doing nefarious things and trying to awaken Groudon to take over the world and things like that.
Yeah. I hate water, so I'm gonna boil it all away is like the plot of Pokemon Ruby.
Yeah.
Like just to destroy the ocean.
It's kind of crazy. Pokemon Red or Pokemon Blue, like Gen 1 Pokemon, they're Ash Ketchum is 10 years old when his mom's like, go out into the world, battle Pokemon, fight the criminals, wear clean underwear. That's all I'm going to say to you. Here's one potion I left in your computer. Have a good day.
Yeah, yeah. So Dialga and Palkia create the universe as we know it, along with the world upon which Pokemon takes place. It's just known as Earth. And after that, they leave to their own dimensions as well. Whether they're, I don't think they're cast there by Arceus, but they do seem to just be like, okay, cool, we're done here. We're going to go chill for a while. Dialga goes to the temporal world and Palkia to the spatial world.
Yeah. Cool.
Time and space.
I had Pearl, so Palkia was my box legendary, basically.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
With those two firmly in their place, creation of the universe is done. Geraltine is banished. Arceus then creates the three referenced in the Sinnoh creation myth, Uxie, Mesprit, and Azelf, each representing knowledge, emotion, and willpower, respectively.
Okay.
I'm knowledge or emotion. I'll take emotion.
Okay. You're so emotional.
That would make you Azelf, or Mesprit, right? The one with the pink hair? It's got like pink, it's got like pink dreads. Because Uxie is clearly the knowledge one, because it has like a big... like brain cap sort of thing. Okay. And then I guess I'll take Azelf, sure.
Okay, your knowledge. So Ethan's willpower?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I could be willpower, sure.
Okay.
I don't have the will to say no to you guys. fun fact about their naming. It's like Uxie, Mesprit, and Azelf. Apparently the names come from you, me, and us as us. And named after mythical creatures, pixies, spirits, and elves.
Okay, that's cute.
I can't wait till they release enough Pokemon so we can get all the French verbs down. Ile, tu, a, el, ils ont, nous avons, vous avez. Don't try and learn French, everyone. It's
vous avez is fucking meta now, guys. Okay, like in Generation 13.
So another book from the Canilav Library called The Horrific Myth describes these three lake guardians. Look not into the Pokemon's eyes. In but an instant, you'll have no recollection of who you are. Return home, but how, when there is nothing to remember? Dare not touch the Pokemon's body. In but 3 short days, all emotions will drain away. Above all, harm not the Pokemon. In a scant 5 days, the offender will grow immobile in entirety.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
what was that book called again? Sorry.
The Horrific Myth.
Yeah, the Horrific Myth. That does sound like a controversial thing. It's like Salman Rushdie wrote it. He wrote the Horrific Myth.
Yeah. So these three, like Pete said, are known as the Lake Guardians. I think you can visit them in game. They're based
on. Yeah, you can
on...
catch all three in Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah, they're based on the Imperial Regalia of Japan: the Yata no Kagami for wisdom, the Yasakani no Magatama for benevolence, and the Kuanagi, who represents valor. So the stories of the myth sound pretty horrifying. It's called the Horrifying Myth, right? Arceus granted them these abilities. So to remove memory, to remove emotion, and to remove all willpower, so that they could control Dialga and Palkia if they ever needed to, essentially. So from the Pokedex, or one of the Pokedex entries, it's mentioned that the Lake Guardians actually would eventually give humans the ability to feel emotions and to have knowledge and willpower. So
they're kind of the dangerous... tree of wisdom sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's hey, they're dangerous. Don't go mess with them. But they have these powers apparently to create these like all powerful or almost all powerful beings, which control all time and space.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So due to their dangerous nature, each of them does their best to drive humans away from the lakes where they reside, though will do what they can to not harm humans when possible. So they don't like to, you know, drain humans, like give humans depression or whatever. So Uxie is almost always depicted with its eyes closed so that no one can look into them. Mesprit is known to flee, so no one can touch it. And Azelf has the ability to hide itself within other creatures, so it can't be harmed.
Oh, it could be substitute strategy.
Yeah. Crawls into the assholes of bigger Pokemon.
Yeah, man, Stratty, I know that one.
Wow. Peter's writing that down, so I can only assume that the art is going to be Azelf crawling into Thanos' ass.
not quite. I think that's going to be one of the losers, unless we choose it. But there, I've got a pretty decent list here thus far. It's because since our stenographer, Ethan Palmer, is hosting the episode, I have to take on the burden of writing down goofy bullshit.
Yeah, I do not know how to read or write, so I never do either of those.
No, we don't give it to him. But he's just so emotional, too. So Arceus, having given Pokemon the tools they need to create, retreats to his own dimension and the Hall of Origin, where he is to wait for an artifact known as the Azure Flute to be played. So the Azure Flute, and there's a lot of like instances. So Mew, who we've mentioned once now, was the 151st Pokemon. And the games released with 150 Pokemon. The if you bought the book of the Pokedex, the 150th Pokemon is Mewtwo, and there's no 151. But Mew was coded into the game because if you went to a special live event, they would trade Mew onto your Game Boy onto your cartridge for you essentially.
Cool.
So the only way to get Mew was to go to an actual live event, which a lot of like every iteration since, at least up to 4, basically had the same premise where there was certain Pokemon you could only get from going to live events.
Imagine what that crowd smelled like when you walked in the cable room to get your Mew.
At the time, it was probably a lot of kids, but like I would love to be the like 16-year-old minimum wage carnival barker who just has to link cable to like 1,000 Game Boys over the course of 8 hours.
Yeah, right.
Because like I used to do it when I worked for GameStop or EB Games in Canada. That event like obviously became completely untenable even in like 2011. We had a promo cartridge, and like in the morning, part of your like opening up the store routine was turn on the 3DS that just had like a event cartridge in it. So that's how you got like Shaymin. This is a lot of Gen 4 and 5. It's like how you get Shaymin and Genesect and like some of the more like fancy event Pokemon is like go to GameStop, and like people would come in and be like, oh, do you guys have the... Are you running the event Pokemon? It's like, oh yeah, let me make sure it's charged or whatever. But like, like I've been that guy who's like had to make sure like I had to like throw coal into the oven to make sure that the 3DS was charged so someone could download their Shaymin.
There's a squirrel like a foot away from my head right now. It's just looking at me through my window. Oh my god!
I saw the first squirrel of the spring too this morning.
Wow, they're
coming out.
The garbage squirrels out behind me never go away. They're always stealing toads, basically.
Yeah, why go to sleep all winter when you got Pete's garbage to go through?
Pete's old futon mattress and his garbage toast.
Yeah.
So Arceus was supposed to be summoned by this artifact, the Azure Flute. The Azure Flute was intended to be given out at a live event, but it never was. Meaning in original, like Gen 4, Arceus was never catchable, never tradable. Nobody could get Arceus originally.
So you couldn't hundo P it? Because I have an Arceus like on my 3DS right now. I have no fucking idea where I got it.
In later gens, so like in future gens, because they make it like retroactive, you can catch previous Pokemon. I believe he was made catchable there and tradable across gens. But in the original one, there was no way to get him.
So you know, some people, when they say like, if you invented time travel, what you do, you go back, kill Hitler. I would bring Pete's 2DS back 5 years before it came out, and I would trade that Pokemon to whoever needed it, sell it like $500 a pop, and then go back to my town. The big money.
Jamie spent weeks in the past, and all he has to show for it is $500.
Yeah, and I have to pay you back for the 2DS that's missing
that you stole.
And then he travels back to 1940 and invests that $500 into a high interest savings account and is a billionaire.
Right. Invest into EB Games or GameStop and then cash out in 2021. Stonks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully before stonks.
Yeah. Right. So upon the world of Pokemon created within the universe, by Dialga and Palkia, the three Lake Guardians are chilling, but more legendaries seem to just be kind of forming naturally, I guess. So at the bottom of the deepest sea trenches, Kyogre is formed by the pressure, while Groudon is formed from hardened magma deep beneath the earth. Rayquaza, the last of the Generation 3 legendaries, is formed from the minerals of the ozone itself.
Whoa.
Cool. So do you want to describe what these ones are?
Sorry.
I'm just imagine all these people in the 80s using hairspray and like a legendary Pokemon withering away. Just,
yeah. Oh, like CFCs.
The CFCs,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, you didn't account for this in your fucking Pokemon weakness chart.
You're like, he's like a Motley Crue killing dragons in the sky.
he's like a flying snake, right? So I like to imagine like he would fly by like moving his body as a snake does on the ground, like slither.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
hairspray would just make him too stiff, so he couldn't slither anymore, and he just fell out of the sky.
he'd uncook noodled and just fall down. Yeah. Yeah.
When a noodle uncooks.
You would ask me a question for a second there. Yeah,
do you want to describe Kyogre, Groudon, and Rayquaza for
I know Kyogre.
Okay, you take Kyogre.
Yeah, you default to me for the visual shit.
The Kyogre's like the whale under the sea is on the front of Sapphire, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of have, like, these runes on them. Both, I mean, all three, like, Kyogre, Groudon, and Rayquaza all have, like, runic kind of markings in them, right? Like, my first Pokemon game that I was, like, hardcore into was Ruby, because it's just kind of, like, how old I was when it came out. Groudon is just, like, very basic-looking dinosaur, like, maybe kind of like a centipede, because he's kind of got, like, a segmented shell, like, very kind of broad, but, like it's a bipedal dinosaur with two big hands. And yeah, Rayquaza is a green, very slim dragon, two little arms, and he flies around.
Like a great perm.
Exactly. It's like if you've ever watched the wrestling show on Netflix, Rayquaza would fit right in. Like big old hair, like blonde hair metal with the headband, like leopard print headband holding it all back. Yeah.
And he's only got one arm, but he plays the drums.
Rayquaza was in Def Leppard. Yeah.
So these three are not based on Taoist principles, but instead Jewish apocrypha and pseudepigrapha. So apocrypha is something that's non-canon, essentially, to Jewish faith, and pseudepigrapha is something that was written and attributed to somebody. Pseudepigrapha.
Okay.
It's when if I wrote a book and said, "Oh, Jesus said all this stuff," that'd be pseudepigrapha, where like I wrote it and attributed it to Jesus, but it's probably not true because I never knew the guy.
Predates the Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. In the second century, BC, Book of Enoch, the Leviathan, often depicted as a whale, is the primeval sea monster. Who lives, you know, in the oceans. Behemoth is an unconquerable land monster who lives in an invisible desert east of the Garden of Eden. So that's Kyogre is kind of like the Leviathan. Groudon is loosely based on the Behemoth. And then we have Ziz, who is the primordial sky monster. A quote from the Bible from Psalms, "The Ziz is as monstrous of size as Leviathan himself. His ankles rest on the earth and his head reaches to the very sky." So... in the Bible, seems big.
It must be an onomatopoeia. How do you get that name, right? He must make the noise, Ziz.
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 Into the air. They heard a bee and they said, "That flies." That's what they all sound like, right?
Yeah, bee drill. It's actually a Ziz.
Ethan, must note the Bible quotes instead of me this time.
Yeah, right? I got here, you want a Jewish rabbinic legend?
Yes.
There's the tale of Leviathan and Behemoth locking jaws with one another at the end of time. So in Jewish rabbinic legend, it said that their bodies will feed like the righteous after the end of the world, essentially. So man will like sustain themselves off the dead bodies of Leviathan and Behemoth.
Because that's kind of the plot
Judaism
of
cool.
Ruby and Sapphire. Is Ruby and Sapphire basically just like, what if we made the Hebrew apocalypse into a children's game?
Yeah, exactly. They're straight up based on this. So from a quote from the Jewish rabbinic legend, "They will interlock with one another and engage in combat. With his horns, the Behemoth will gore with strength. The fish Leviathan will leap to meet him with his fins with power."
Since when is it so fucking cool, dude? I don't know anything about Judaism. I want to read their books.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Pokemon.
No.
Old Testament's cool shit, dude. And Old Testament's all based on the Hebrew Torah, right? So
Yeah.
The main difference, really the only difference between Jewish rabbinic legend and Pokemon is that the Battle of Leviathan and Behemoth, or Kyogre and Groudon, actually takes place like way before the beginning of recorded time, as opposed to at the end of time.
Okay.
But they battle early on, and like it's before humans exist on any continent or anything like that. Like probably all the continents are like pretty still like molten rock ish, you know, and
cool. Yeah, because in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, the like third gen remakes, they have it. I know it's bad. yeah, I guess although Omega and Alpha is like the Alpha and the Omega, like those games just like straight up just are remakes of the Old Testament for some reason.
Yeah.
But
it's the King James version. King's James Ruby and King's James HAV Ruby and Sapphire.
Yep. King Jimmy from the block.
The King James Pokemon Ruby. They have the equipable items. They have these primal gems that like awaken them to be like these unconquerable monsters. Like within like Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre are gameplay mechanics basically. And Rayquaza, I know, is like the progenitor of Mega Evolution, where he can do that without an item.
Yeah. So I haven't played the games, but I was obviously researching them a bit. It seems like the orbs, like the plot of either the original Ruby and Sapphire or the remakes was Team Magma or Team Galactic or one of the evil teams. They like go to wake Groudon, but they actually have Kyogre's orb, so they can't control Groudon at all.
Yeah, it is the opposite. Because I played Ruby, so like Ruby, it's Team Magma is trying to wake Groudon, but they have the blue orb.
Yeah.
And then my buddy had Sapphire, which we did, but we did it before he started playing Jamie, because I don't abuse the people I know. When Kyle started playing Pokemon Sapphire, he traded me, I guess, 5 additional Pokemon, and then I gave him all 3 starters and kept the remaining 2 that I did not have when I had my Mudkip, basically.
Yeah. Kyle, you gotta speak up if Peter bullied you when you were younger, okay?
I never bullied Kyle. There is Marble Skidoo, for fuck's sake.
There's one kid named Eric on a playground. He used to wear dolphin necklaces all the time. I don't know.
Weird.
Ethan might remember him, but...
I remember an Eric. I don't remember dolphin
Yeah, you renamed him Derek later.
Eric, okay. I know who we're talking about.
Someone... he was like 159 out of 150... or 149 out of 150. And while saving, someone turned off the power and corrupted his save file. And
kids are so cruel, man.
Yeah.
Good news is you and your kid, like, what the fuck else? What else are you gonna do with your time other than fucking regrind that 149?
Oh yeah, I would be demoralized though. I'd just like go play patty cake or whatever else kids do at that point.
So Kyogre and Groudon, born of natural forces, began to create sea and land where they could. Eventually, perhaps realizing that the world was finite and that they had to compete for space, a battle does break out between the two, where like land and sea don't like each other and they go at each other. It rages for a time until Rayquaza descends from the sky to quell their rage and cause them to retreat to their own domains until, like we were talking about, the events of the Generation 3 game, right? So a fan theory, which I want to make Loreboy's canon, posted to the subreddit Pokemon Conspiracies, which is a great subreddit if you ever just want to look up.
Hell yeah.
crazy fan theories on Pokemon. By the user Toxic Popcorn, called out that Kyogre's type, Kyogre's type water, excuse me, obviously super effective against Groudon's ground type, right? So we were talking about the weapon triangle, the rock, paper, scissors at the top. Kyogre is water, Groudon's ground, which means that Kyogre would be way stronger in a fight in an actual like head-to-head probably than Groudon, right? Like would probably win most of those matchups.
That's why there's more water on Earth than ground.
Exactly. Toxic Popcorn says like Groudon was Kyogre was probably winning, and you know the Earth is 70% water, Loreboy's canon, because Rayquaza intervened, but only because he saw like the balance between land and water was like waning, essentially.
Huge, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. And Rayquaza being dragon is resistant to water but neutral to ground, which is also kind of interesting because he's dragon flying, where Groudon has no advantage over him.
Yeah, Groudon has a huge disadvantage. Ground can't hurt flying. Yeah.
Rayquaza is immune to ground. So like he took pity on the land, basically, and descended from the sky.
That ground guy's such a cuck. He can't do anything against the sky.
I mean, It's like Bulbasaur.
You've got Alpha Sapphire and Beta Ruby are the re-releases, basically.
Can't wait for Sigma Emerald. Am I right?
Sigma.
Rayquaza's just out here on his grind, dude. He's ignoring these fucking chuds down below before he has to step in, take control.
Exactly. They're fighting down there, and he's doing his own thing. Yeah, he's escaped the hierarchy.
Rayquaza Sigma.
Grind, my dude.
Raising grind. Rayquaza makes peace between the two, returns to their roost to just be a Samora, be a like phoenix, be a whatever mythological bird or sky
breed, right? Like I know there's like it Rayquaza is like a unique animal that just kind of exists in the atmosphere, right?
Yeah, so these Rayquaza, Kyogre, and Groudon are considered, you know, unique legendaries where they're genderless, they are just primordial forces basically, and they don't reproduce as far as we know. We've never seen them fuck.
No sky dragon eggs, dude. Never seen them.
So the world begins to settle into its own rhythm. Primordial makers sent to their rest and held at bay by blue balls, or a blue and a red ball, more specifically. at this time, it's very likely that Mew starts to become very prevalent in the Pokemon world, right? Probably lives in large numbers throughout the lands and forests. And, you know, in a couple thousand years, probably we'll get the first humans kind of, you know, evolving from Mankeys or from Apoms or whichever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Canonically speaking, humans did not evolve from Pokemon, but I don't understand how that works when like all the animals are Pokemon
replaced by Pokemon. Yeah.
If you had to evolve,
I mean, Loreboy's canon.
Yeah.
If you had to evolve from one, which one would it be? I think I want to be Mr. Mime. I want to be like Mr. Mime who learned how to talk. You know.
Like, okay. Yeah. I'll take Pillow Swine.
<Good tests. laughs> That's what I call him. Every time I go visit, he's just my sweet pillow swine.
I'd be like a Yanma or something, like a dragonfly, horrible little thing.
I could see you being that with your axolotl pets and such.
There are three axolotl Pokemon. The entire Mudkip line are technically axolotls, right?
True.
Still have exterior gills.
What did they do in Silver Gold when they just had like 50 of these things that were like runic symbols?
Oh, the unknowns.
Why? That was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, because Silver, like my favorite gen is Gen 2. They had the best campaign because they had two gym leagues, basically. Like you had your 8 gyms and the Pokemon League, and then like now you got a big enough dick to go back to Kanto and fight 8 more gyms in another Pokemon League. Like, no gen since has done that. So it's
exactly.
For me, that
gen didn't have a Kanto attitude. They had a Kan-O attitude. You know?
Kan-O attitude. like, Pokemon for me has been on the decline for, at this point, at time of writing, 22 years.
Latest
only
ones
because they
tight,
never, the they never let you go back and do new shit. Like, they had one good idea in the year 2000, and they were like, it's too hard, fuck it.
I think
it turns into such a slog, like, especially, like, it does feel like, hey, you beat the Elite Four, and most of your Pokemon are, like, level 50, right? You're, like, level 50, level 60, maybe you have one or two who's, like, your starter's level 60. Yeah. And it just feels like, now you've unlocked some legendaries that you can go catch, and this and that. You're just, like, it's just, like, so daunting to be like, am I just gonna go, like, catch them all for nothing? Like, for nothing other than the Pokedex or whatever. So,
yeah, because when you go back to the Kanto League, like Ash, who is in Mount Silver, Pikachu is like level 90. And you have to get through eight more gyms that are all like 40 and up, and then like the Elite Four, which are all like 60 and up, and it's like, okay, good. There's like additional content. This is on the Game Boy Color. Like, what the fuck?
There's a lot to do in Arceus. Like, Arceus. I was watching, like I said, Ethan's extra mate play, and there's a lot to do. The game looks kind of bad, and there's things they could do better. Like, there's too much story when there isn't a story. Like, you just got to listen to a bunch of shit.
Too much dialogue. Yeah.
But I feel like if they listen and they take this, like, new infrastructure and make a new game without, like, all the complaints that are in this one, like, we're due for a really tight Pokemon game. The next one is going to be so good. I'm hoping.
I wish.
Yeah. It looks cool. Yeah. Arceus looks cool for sure.
Yeah.
So just getting back to the story, we have Mews around. We also get the first of the golems, I guess you could call them, Regigigas.
The Regis, yeah.
Yeah. It's said that Regigigas actually pulls the continents together. He's like a big guy. Then he creates, or they create, five titans in their image, or five more golems in their image.
Right. It's so weird how, like, in-game, Regigigas, like, I have heard that, like, that he, like, had built these chains to drag the continents into place, but, like, competitively, or even, like, in casual play, Regigigas is one of the most worthless Pokemon on the planet. Like, I mean, that's unusably bad.
It's one of those things with, like, story and gameplay. It's just like League of Legends, where you have, like, in League of Legends, like, one of the champions is Aurelion Sol, who is, like, literally, like, a nebula. And it's, like, you fight him in-game, and he's, like, he's kind of strong, you know? Like, but he's just, like, he flies around. He's as big as everybody else, because it's just, like, all scaled appropriately. Like, yeah. Arceus, God who created everything, has, like, base stat line of 720, I think. Which is really, really good. Like, that's a really high, like, BST, but...
But there's, like, megas that are stronger than that.
Yeah, like, that's it. Like... He's not that strong. Like, he does lose in fights sometimes, and like can get caught by a Pokeball, even though he created time and space.
Yeah, a child could own it.
Yeah, that's it.
Ben Shapiro owns the children with this one trick. Yeah.
So a child could catch God. A child could catch this golem, Regigigas. Originally, he creates three other golems, right? You know,
they're from Gen 3. It's Regice, Regirock, and Registeel.
Exactly. And then eventually two others, Regidraco and Regielec, I think, who are electric and dragon type.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the five states of matter.
electricity is, I guess, plasma. So then dragon is bosidestone condensate?
I have no idea.
What is, you said that before. What is that? Bosidestone condensate.
It's a fifth state of matter. That's all I know.
Which one is it like?
As far as my physics understanding goes.
Is it like the solid, the liquid of solids? Is it the gas of liquids?
I believe it is when matter gets to near absolute zero temperatures, it starts acting in ways that, like, it's a solid, but it starts acting in ways that solids can't normally act. But
it's like because getting towards zero Kelvin, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's near absolute zero, it starts acting weird. So they just describe it as something.
So
else.
If you ask your friend to do you a solid, if you're asking for a really big favor, you ask them for a Bose's condensate or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. The puzzle you had to solve in Gen 3 to catch the Regis, the legendary golems, was ridiculous. So, because they had clues written in Braille.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's the other one. Regidiculous, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the clown golem, basically. Yeah. It's pulling at his collar and telling jokes to Johnny Carson.
Yeah. I thought you said Regigigas was a clown, dude. No, but...
Regigigas sucks, too.
Those game manuals came with a Braille sheet. So your game book, in the back of it, had a Braille code.
I never noticed that because I bought like Pokemon Ruby at a Radio Shack on Prince Edward Island. Like, I remember that. Yeah. But like when we're on vacation, my parents would give us like vacation money. Of course, like I didn't really like, have allowance. Like I've talked about how like I didn't really have much growing up, but like I had like vacation allowance, which is like $50 for the entire vacation. And when you're like seven, that is you're a child everywhere, basically. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like at a Radio Shack and I spent most of my money on Pokemon Ruby, which like got me here. But I didn't realize that they had like a Braille guide in the back of the manual.
Because I probably
threw it away in the car, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. So Regigigas, a portmanteau of Regi and Gigas. You want to take a stab at what Regi means in Latin?
Kingdom.
Royal.
Big king. Yeah.
Royal. Yeah. Gigas, the Greek, Peter?
Real big.
Big giant. So it's royal giant is Regigigas, essentially.
Okay.
seems to be based, like I said, on Jewish legends, specifically the golems. And that's because they have these like braille markings on their faces, which golems typically do. Golems typically depicted as being made out of a single substance. So you can have clay golems, you can have metal golems, you can have ice golems. But
the problem with a Regigigas is like carrying them on that throne thing where like the four people have to put it on their shoulder to carry it around. Yeah. It's a giant. How many folks do you need, you know?
He's giant and he's made out of a bunch of different elements. It's difficult.
Yeah, but Regigigas is also normal type, which is kind of interesting. He's like the neutral golem opposed to like steel, dragon, electric or anything like that.
So in Pokemon and in Pokemon the Regis and in Jewish myth, the golems, they're servants of higher powers with binding writing written on their heads.
Cool.
Who the Regis are actually a servant to is very unclear, but it does seem like they serve some purpose. In real world myth, the Golem of Prague, probably the most well-known Jewish golem, immense power intimidated the feeble human, was said to have been locked in an attic, whereas Regigigas would eventually be locked in a basement by people who once worshipped him.
Okay.
Cool. Also,
and the people who worship him also live in basements.
They lock him in like the basement of their temple. They're just like, this guy's. I didn't get too much into it, but also plenty of parallels to the Titans from Greek mythology, who a lot of whom get locked into Tartarus under a mountain. Regigigas is his temple is like in a mountain essentially.
Yeah.
And each of them represents an elemental force similar to a lot of Titans as well. Helios represents the sun. Oceanos represents the oceans, you know. Oh, knocked over my Tums.
Kronos is time.
Kronos is time, yeah. Kronos gets killed by his own son. Yeah.
I know, like, I was at my godmother's funeral, like, a couple of months ago. And I don't know a whole lot of
fun
Greek,
story but... for a fucking comedy podcast.
Well,
very old. Yeah. It's okay. She died of old age. She was like 93 or something. Yeah. It's not a sad story. Like, it's time to go.
No, yeah. I mean, I have one living grandmother who I love dearly and I will be sad to see go. I have one deceased grandmother who had Alzheimer's for 15 years and it was such a mercy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I have a great aunt who just recently died who is like petitioning the province she lived
why
in.
Why are
like,
we going on a death list, guys? Yeah, what are we just, doing?
It's just, I was talking to my grandfather at the funeral, who is 91, and I think death will also be a mercy for him, but drinking wine, and he got, like, really, really fun, basically, but I remember he was telling his buddy, like, who was also there, that he hadn't had any booze in 8 years, and just the Greek words for what he was saying, like, even me who does not understand him, I was also drunk and I called him out. He's like, something, octochroni, which is 8 years. I'm like, and it's saying it's like, I haven't had a drink in 8 years. I'm like, that is bullshit, because, like, I've been drunk with him at Christmas.
Time passes differently as you get older.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so time passes once the Titans, the Regis, are kind of imprisoned until a 10-year-old boy shows up and frees them to put them into another prison.
A 10-year-old boy who can read Braille.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't throw out the manual and actually reads it.
Yeah.
Some time passes. Pokemon diversify into the primordial versions of the ice cream cones that we know today. Mew populations eventually begin to decline all around the same time the first humans begin to appear upon the world. That's the prehistory of Pokemon. I didn't hit the prehistory portion of the Wikipedia page yet. So,
like the fossil Pokemon and shit, like all the
Your Aerodactyls, your Ammonites, your Kabutops, your Mews, that kind of stuff comes later essentially. But
load
those are the primordial forces.
This is great. Yeah. I want more Pokemon.
We're gonna have to get into it. Maybe I have an idea for my next episode. But maybe I'll do the fossil Pokemon, like, because I am a gigantic paleontology wonk for one. Yeah. So, like, I know everything they're talking about already.
Cool. So that's the episode, more or less. But I got 5 trivia questions for all the marbles. What do you guys say to
Ethan?
Quick little rap.
Yeah, Your writing this week is just tickling my fancy. I'm so excited for this. This is fun.
That's it. This is a good one, because, like, I could do D&D trivia and you guys wouldn't get many questions, right? But
right.
Pokemon, I'm like, I feel like you guys will probably get.
Hopefully.
So question one. I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to posit something to you guys. So the question is, as of January 2021, how much revenue has the Pokemon franchise earned? Now, we can do this two ways. We could do, you each do a guess and whoever's closer.
Price is
or
right.
I could give you guys an over-under and we could let one person take an over and one person take an under on whatever I say. Closest without going over? You guys want prices right?
Yeah, price is right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say again, how much money?
As of January 2021, how much revenue has the Pokemon franchise earned?
it's probably something like nigh inconceivable. It's probably like $300 billion.
I'm gonna say 1.5 billion.
Okay, we're doing. It doesn't matter which way we're doing.
Okay, wait, 700 million.
100 billion USD.
Okay.
It didn't matter because Peter was over, but Peter was also 200 billion off, whereas you were only 100 billion off, Jamie.
Okay, yeah.
But I was under. I didn't go over.
You were closer and you didn't go over. It is the highest earning media franchise of all time. Full stop.
Insane.
What? More than Star Wars, more than Marvel, more than anything.
There is
Pokemon,
like 30
Pokemon
fucking games too, with like two games of story.
Games, movies, cards. Anime, yeah. Cards, like there's so.
I have a shirt with a Pikachu on it, and I'm a 30-year-old man.
You contributed, dude. You contributed to the $100 billion Pokemon company. Do you guys... Okay, question two. Can you guys name the life-threatening condition which causes an episode of the Pokemon animated series to be banned after sending some viewers to hospital?
Epilepsy.
Epilepsy, yeah.
That's epilepsy.
Which the Simpsons parodied when they go on their visit to Japan.
And, super Japanese fighting robots or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I watched the actual clip. It is like very intense flashing. It's like it flashes red-blue, which is weird. And my wife, epilepsy runs in her family. Both her siblings have epilepsy. So she's been to like EEGs, which is like where they test like how your brain responses to stimulus basically and how they determine if you have epilepsy. And she says it's basically that they just flash a strobe light in your face and they have like a bunch of diodes on your head to figure out like
they put a spoon your in your mouth. They put a spoon in your mouth and just try and fuck you up as hard as they can.
They try to give you seizures pretty much. Her and her siblings they don't have photosensitive epilepsy, so it doesn't like trigger them, like she didn't get triggered. So we watched the clip. It is very intense flashing, but it's so short. We were both like surprised that even that would like trigger one. But I guess
heard that was almost an urban legend in some cases, like the Pokemon thing. In the same way, like the woman who like burned herself with McDonald's coffee is why there's like a coffee is hot sticker. Like that was a half fake story.
It was a real concern though, because it was like they were giving like 350 degrees Fahrenheit coffee.
She got serious burns because they didn't put the lid on properly and they handed it to her in the drive-thru and like it dropped into her lap and she has like third degree burns like all on her like genitals and the inside of her thighs and it's horrifying.
They redid the machines because it was too hot. It was legitimately too hot, yeah.
And the media spun it so shitty and so like juries and like all these people like had this big outcry like, oh, you don't know how to drink coffee, blah blah blah. But it's just like let big corporations get away with like horribly mutilating a woman and not paying anything, and like the settlement was like, oh, you got to put a label on your cups essentially.
I started playing Lost Ark and they have an epilepsy warning at the beginning, and all that happens is when you kill certain monsters like they light up sometimes, and it's so minor, they flash a couple times, but even
most
then,
game like, do now yeah. like, it's yeah. very much a just in case thing.
So another banned episode question, this one I've mentioned before definitely to you guys. I think it was on air, it might have been on during
can
the
I
live
guess
show.
Before it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it? Did they do "Who's that Pokemon"? And then they flash, and it was just an engorged penis.
Yeah. It was the episode that Tyler Durden put together, right?
It's like a bunch of flashing images, and then the Pokemon is just like a hot McDonald's coffee. Like they combined everything.
So I've told you guys this one before, so you both know the answer. Do you know why the first Pokemon animated series episode featuring Tauros was banned outside of Japan?
He had six tails.
No, Tauros has three tails.
Three.
He's thinking of a Tauros king, where a bunch of Tauros like get together and their tails get all tangled up.
Oh yeah, the Tauros in the sewer get all fused. The first episode featuring Tauros was banned. Was it because like didn't like the poacher have a gun or something?
So the Safari Zone Warden holds a revolver to Ash Ketchum's head.
Okay,
that rings a bell now that you say it.
Yeah,
wow.
So that's episode 35 and 38 banned. 38 was the epilepsy one, and 35 was the Tauros one.
Bad streak.
But I mean, so outside of Japan, the first time you see Tauros, Ash just has like an army of Tauros Pokemon in his back pocket, and he just pulls them out with like no explanation. And it's because the episode where he actually catches them all was banned.
Tauros is like really good Gen 1, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very
top tier. Yeah. Top tier. Yeah.
He's get stab bonus on Hyper Beam. Come on.
Yeah, and he's fast and can learn Swords Dance. And before they did like the special physical split, all normal type moves scaled off his attack stat, which was super, super high.
Right.
Yeah. Question four. Almost no characters in the Pokemon universe have last names. Very few of them have canonical last names. Ash Ketchum is not Ash Ketchum in Japan. That's an Americanization. But Brock, leader of Pewter City Gym, had and a popular character in the anime, per his voice actor, has a last name. Do you guys know what Brock's last name is?
Lesnar. Is it Samson?
It's not Lesnar. It's not Samson.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Brock the Dwayne Johnson.
Brock the Dwayne Johnson.
It is Harrison. It's Brock Harrison.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Similar vein, only one actual Pokemon has ever been given a canonical last name. Points to whoever can guess the Pokemon, and 1,000,000 points to whoever can get the actual last name.
Pikachu.
It's not Pikachu.
Okay.
Is it Meowth? Because he's like a crooked businessman?
It's not Meowth either. And he's the only Pokemon who can talk, right? Like, English.
Yeah.
Muck.
Is it Mr. Mime or something like
it's
that?
It's not. You guys are never going to get this. It's Rhydon.
What?
And it's Dis Dick is his last name.
Okay. Yeah, you don't know how amazing this is, okay? This whole trivia was a setup for me to make that joke.
Yes!
That joke? No, okay, I'm not kidding. I had that joke 6 months ago. Sitting on a Pokemon episode trying to figure out how do I work in this joke without Jamie blowing up my spot.
Yes.
I knew you could ask my wife. I told her last night I was nervous that you were too quick, man. Oh, well done. Jamie gets 1,000,000 points because he got the canonical last name. This is right on. I was gonna say D's nuts, but Dis Dick works too.
All right, yeah. I've been waiting. I'm on my toes. An hour 20. Just like, when can I say Dis Dick? Yeah.
No, I swear to God, I like thought of that joke myself. I said that's a funny joke, and then I've been like, I should say that when we do a Pokemon episode. And ever since, I've been like, Jamie will get it. I won't be able to set it up without Jamie getting it. He's too plugged into the internet, man.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Not clever, just plugged into the internet.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Lore Boys. This has been our Pokemon episode, the first of maybe a few.
I'd say many, definitely. Yeah, that was great. It's kind of like an Elder Scrolls thing where we're all into it.
Yeah, I hope we're all engaged. Yeah. We all know. If you guys want to make your voice heard, let us know if you like the episode. A great way to do it is by leaving us a review. Or joining the Discord, telling us there, sending us an email where we will read your emails on air one day. We do have a few patron emails, which I think we're saving for a mailbag at this point. So Nathan, shout out to you, but we'll read your email on air during the mailbag. Thanks everybody who continues to write in, continues to support us, continues to tell their friends about us. Shout out to a guy in Discord whose name I'm blanking on, who got his wife to listen to. Was it Hyperion Caesar? Who finally got his wife to listen to the BioShock episode.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Spartan Bane 12.
Spartan Bane 12, yeah.
Shout out to you. The 65-year-old woman who knew what Steam was, who wrote down our podcast on Notepad this week when I ran in.
She was
so polite, and she wanted to know it. She's like, I'll be your 400,001st listener. I was like, thanks.
Very cute. We did 400K recently, so big shout out to everybody who's helped with that.
Yeah.
And I've been your host, Ethan Palmer. Pete, is there anything you want to plug, add, contribute?
At Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. It's obviously it's really difficult to judge, especially in Quebec, what the future holds, basically. But Comic-Con Montreal is allegedly happening, and I'm going to be there. And obviously, Ethan and Jamie are welcome. So I know that's like 4 months away at this point, and we don't know if it's even going to happen. But like, if you guys want to meet us in person again, maybe mark
like
on your calendar.
Open the city before St. Patty's. Like, we're supposed to have a full swing St. Patty's.
That's what I heard as well, which seems like the most irresponsible way to do this.
I was at an Irish pub last night, and they're like, if you know literally anyone who is willing to come and work, we will take them. Because we do not have enough people, and we need to fill this place up. But
yeah. I'd do an under the table night working at a bar on St. Patty's Day, frankly.
I could
just get shithoused. It'd be wild. I just like party on the inside.
Ton of tips.
But, yeah, we've been tossing that around. So keep your ear to the ground. Again, it's like 4 or 5 months away at this point. But if you'd like to meet the lads, it might be possible.
It might.
Yeah.
Jamie, anything you want to add?
Get into that Discord. Check out the Patreon. Always trying to look for more ways to please the viewership. So just check both those things out, because I think that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Yeah,
we've been doing a lot on Patreon. So like, if you're on the Patreon, check out some of the stuff and like see what you like, see what you don't like. It's keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we like with all things with the show, we do rely on a lot of feedback from you guys, a lot of suggestions from you guys on how to improve and how to make things better. So that extends to the Patreon as well.
Every episode has a day one patch, basically.
Yeah. Big shout out to everybody who does support us on Patreon. It means a lot. Of course, we do have Lore Boys Prime, our own personalized incentive program, where you guys don't necessarily have to pay cash. You guys just have to leave home. You guys have to abandon home, leave your single moms there. Don't ask questions why. Go catch bugs. If you do that and prove that you have left your hot MILF in our area alone at home, then
she gave away all the underwear in the house.
Yeah. She packed it all into your bag because she wanted to make sure you had clean underwear, essentially. So now she's out of underwear. Then we will give you guys the opportunity to choose your own starter, whether it's red shirt Ethan, blue shirt Pete, or green shirt Jamie over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter can be your Squirtle in the middle if you really want, for the Lore Boys Prime. And I think that would constitute
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Oh no, it broke out.
Pork Boys.
Pork Boys.
You sound like great,
like butter. It's Super Bowl Sunday, boys. So the football.
Mybookie.ag. We're gonna do our gambling sponsorship, just like the lads at Cumtown.
So I'm like one of the only PMs at work who like cares about sports. Really, like, I mean, there's some who care about like other sports, and like there's a lot of like people who like fringe sports, like rock climbing and stuff. But I've been talking about it, and there's one other guy who I guess watches football. This guy Jeff, and he messages me. He's like, "Oh, like I don't really care who wins on Sunday. Do you want to like bet though? Because like it makes it more interesting. Like, do you want to put a bet on it and it makes it more interesting?" I'm like, "Sure. Like, what's the wager?" And then he's like, "Well, the Gatorade, or what did he say? He said something like, oh, well, we definitely gotta know the Gatorade,
the color.
We're
definitely gonna bet." Right?
Yeah, which I had never known. I was like, I googled it. I was like, gambling Super Bowl Gatorade, and apparently people bet on what color the Gatorade will be.
I've heard this.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's kind of harmless too. That's a lot of fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.